I want you to remember Sister Lisa's testimony tonight about helping the preacher. This is my first time to preach today. All right? So I want me to do good. All right?
Yes.
Amen. Because after all, you have to listen to me. So you ought to hope I do good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I know it's a familiar verse. Amen. But that's what I feel like preaching to you about tonight. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where Luke records some of the very last words of Jesus that are recorded in the New Testament. And he says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for your blessings. My, it's been wonderful to hear the testimonies of your people for healing and strength and refreshing and answers to prayer. Oh, Lord, the things you've done for your people. And I thank you for it, Lord. And I pray tonight you'll help me to preach this message you've laid on my heart and speak it to us. Work in us again tonight, Lord. Around these altars, that your will would be done in our lives. Oh, how we need your Spirit, Lord, working in us right now, today, in the age we live in. And I pray you'll do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why Pentecost? That's what I want to preach to you tonight. Why? Why Pentecost? You know, I, for one, and I think we, As a church, we are not ashamed to believe Pentecostal doctrine. We're not ashamed to be Pentecostal in belief and in experience. Amen. Because we believe it's the clear teaching of the New Testament that every believer is supposed to experience Pentecost. Amen. It won't be exactly like what happened on the day of Pentecost, probably, but it could be. But it's very similar to what happened on that very day of Pentecost in the upper room. So I might say that in regard to thinking about this, when I said why Pentecost, you might immediately think the easy answer right up front is because Jesus commanded it. You know, that's not what I'm going to preach about tonight. But the fact remains, we don't really need any other or any more motivation for the experience of Pentecost than that fact. If Jesus said every believer is supposed to tarry and pray until they receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost, then we ought to do it. That's all it ought to take, you know. But you know, as far as the why we should be concerned about the Pentecostal experience, first of all, it's because Jesus declared that we should. But a little further than that, what I want to preach to you tonight, that's found in this verse, why Pentecost? Why did Jesus command that we experience it? What's the big deal about it? And there are two reasons given in that one verse I read to you tonight. Amen. The first is this: Pentecost gives us power. Now, surely nobody here tonight would say, "Oh, I don't need any power from God. I don't need any divine power. I don't need any help." None of us would deny we all need divine power to live a Christian life right here on the earth. There has never been anybody who could do it on their own. And I'll tell you what, if you might by some strange coincidence think you're that one who can do it on your own, I'm going to burst your bubble tonight. You can't do it. There's never been a man or woman born in the world who can live a Christian life without the power of the Holy Ghost in their life. Now stay with me, and I'll explain a little bit more about that, all right? But you cannot live the Christian life without divine power. Amen. Who would even want to try? Amen. You'd have to be an idiot. You'd have to have yourself for a lawyer to want to try to live Christian life without divine power. Amen. Think about, according to the Bible, the power that comes to us through the Holy Ghost. Amen. Brother Aaron, so good in the early part of his message today, made the point about the Trinity and the personality of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a person that brings us power. Amen. It starts with the power of salvation. Amen. I preached to you a week or so ago in that message about dissatisfied satisfaction. I talked a little bit about this, and I felt like I needed to revisit it a little bit. Amen. That nobody can be saved without the working of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That is not Baptist doctrine. That is Bible doctrine. All right? You cannot be saved without the working of the Holy Ghost. First of all, in conviction. Brother Matthew expressed that so well in talking about Conrad and his situation. Amen. It's the Holy Ghost that brings conviction. Amen. We deal with people on an intellectual level. We try to reason with them. And we have to do that. We have to show them what the Bible says, because there does have to be some knowledge and there does have to be some assent to what they know and what they read. They do have to have a mental assent to that. They do have to believe it. So there is an intellectual part, but that alone is not enough. Nobody can be reasoned into being a Christian. Amen. So Jesus said the Holy Ghost would convince men of sin. And what that means is he will deal with the heart of the sinner and make him aware that he is a sinner. And until you try to talk to anybody about the Lord, you may not understand that, but you meet very, very few people ever in the world who will admit to you that they are a sinner and they're on their way to hell and they need to be saved. Most people will argue about how good they are and how nice they are and what they haven't done. You know, they pick out two or three things. I never killed anybody. Well, I mean, I know there's murder happens probably in every half hour in America. I don't know what the statistic is. But you got to admit, the huge majority of Americans never kill anybody. That's no big deal. I mean, who should brag about that? I don't commit adultery on my wife. Well, there's more people in America do that than commit murder. That's not enough to save anybody. Amen. There are people that are always proclaiming their own goodness. Amen. But it's the Holy Ghost, amen, that breaks down into a life and brings this bad word in our day, guilt. People go to church and they tell them, oh, we don't want you ever to feel guilt. We don't want you ever to feel condemnation. And they make you think that if at your church anybody feels guilt, you got a bad church. And the fact of the matter is, that's sometimes people ought to feel guilt. Hey, when you're doing something wrong, you ought to feel guilt. If you're not doing anything wrong, then you shouldn't feel guilt. But why should people who are doing wrong go to church and never feel guilt? Hey, come on, that's what the Holy Ghost does. Amen. God knows what we do not know. Amen. And he reaches down where we cannot reach. Amen. He pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Amen. And when you're in a church service, or when you're hearing someone sing and God begins to move, or somebody's testifying and the Holy Ghost begins to move, or somebody's preaching, or somebody shouts, or somebody's praying and the Holy Ghost moves, and you feel miserable, you ought to feel miserable. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen. He's saying to you, there's something wrong in your life, and you need to take care of it. Hallelujah. It's the Holy Ghost that brings guilt. And I, for one, say, thank God for Holy Ghost guilt. I tell you what, I think people need to feel a little more guilty in our churches than they do. It's not God's job to make a sinner feel no condemnation. Amen. It's God's job to make him feel condemnation. Because you can't deal with it until you know it's there. The Holy Ghost makes people feel shame. That's right. The Holy Ghost, as good as he is, makes people feel miserable. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. Amen. The sinner needs to feel regret and remorse and come to repentance. Amen. Without the work of the Holy Ghost, the sinner will never feel the need of a Savior. The sinner will never feel condemnation of sin and will feel no pressure to repent. But when the Holy Ghost moves in a sinner's heart and convicts them, amen, he's trying to do his next work, and that is conversion. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost does not convict somebody just in order to make them feel bad. He convicts them in order to make them pray and feel better. Conversion. Amen. Paul spoke of the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, the Holy Ghost brings guilt and condemnation into the sinner's heart because he has to feel his sinfulness. But then when he's willing to repent, the Holy Ghost brings renewal and regeneration in that same heart. Amen. Paul talked about some sinners and he named them all by name. And then he said, and such were some of you. Yeah, you were in that same crowd. You did the same sins they are doing, but you're washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. How do you come off of the sinner's role onto the saint's role? Where instead of God saying, and such are some of you, to where God says, and such were some of you. It happens by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, it's the Holy Ghost, amen, that brings washing and sanctifying and justifying in the name of the Lord Jesus. He wants you to be converted. Amen. Jesus told Nicodemus that he had to be born of the Spirit. It is the Holy Ghost that actually causes a person to be born again. Now, this may seem like an extreme parallel, but it's really not. Remember, at Christmas time, we talk about the wonderful story of baby Jesus. We talk about Mary is engaged to Joseph. And the angel comes to Mary and says, you're going to have a child. And she says, it's impossible. We're engaged. We're betrothed. But we're not married yet. I don't have a husband. And God, through the angel, says to Mary, the Holy Ghost is going to conceive God's Son in your womb. And nobody has ever figured that all the way out. It's a mystery and it's a miracle. How that Jesus Christ could be conceived in the womb of Mary and a human man never be involved. And she bears a human baby boy. How could it happen? It happens by the Holy Ghost. So how can a man who's already been born of his mother and lived a life, whether he's only 5 years old or whether they're 15 years old or whether he's lived to be 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years old, or maybe like in the case of Nicodemus, he may have been 60 or older, probably was, how in the world can a person be born again? Well, you sure can't do it just by going to church. Mary couldn't just go to the temple and become expecting with baby Jesus. You can't do it just by putting some money in the offering or by signing your name on the roll. It's supernatural. Amen. The only way a person can be born again is by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you what, it really is spiritually true that the miracle of the incarnation is repeated over and over in this regard, that only the Holy Ghost can regenerate a human life. And every time a person is born again, man, it's a miracle of heaven. Hallelujah. It's a mystery of God that it can't be done. Oh, yes, we need Pentecost, because we need the Holy Ghost working in conviction and conversion. Hallelujah. You become a new creation. Same facial features, sorry. Amen. Well, for some of you that's good, but for some of us that's not so good. You still weigh the same? Sorry. Man, your hair color is still the same for a while. Amen. Have the same height. Amen. But on the inside, brand new man, brand new woman. How in the world can that happen? Not by any man you ever met in your life or any man you ever heard of in your life. Only by the work of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hey, I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost power, amen, and work is so vital. Amen. We should never downgrade and undermine the working of the Holy Ghost in salvation. But that's only the beginning of his work. Amen. He works in the sinner to bring salvation, and then he works in the saint to bring sanctification. Amen. Because the Holy Ghost moves into your life. He moves into your spirit, into your soul. He's in your temple, the Bible says. He moves in. He brings authority and ability for you to live holy. Hallelujah. Now, parents name their kids in a lot of ways. A lot of times they'll name them immediately after a dad or a mom. Sometimes they'll actually take all the names of the dad or the mom. Usually, it seems, I've never met a young lady named Junior. Have you? I never have. Have you? But I've met a lot of guys. They actually took dad's first name, middle name, last name, and then put Junior on there. You know. Or sometimes they'll take two names and put them together and make one name. Those sometimes are really wild. Sometimes I think they take letters of the alphabet, shake them up in a can, and dump them out. And whatever it is, that's what they got. I've seen some names look about like that. Some get out a book and go through and find what the meanings of the names are. You know, so some people take it serious. Well, I'm not sure. We're not told about how Holy Ghost got his name. But you've got the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. His first name is Holy. There's something about that, isn't there? Amen. If the Holy Ghost is going to work in your life, there's going to be holy there. Amen. You are not letting the Holy Ghost work in you if there is no holy there. You may have some spirit or some ghost, but it's not the Holy One if there's no holy there. Right? How can the Holy Ghost be dwelling in a life and there be no holy there? Hallelujah. In Romans 1:4, he is called the Spirit of Holiness. Amen. Peter and Paul both speak of the sanctification of the Spirit. Amen. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation. This is great. When you're a sinner and the Holy Ghost works, his main work is condemnation. But when you repent, amen, now there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Why Pentecost? Because you and I need the power of sanctification in our lives. Hallelujah. People who say they are Spirit-filled and they don't live right, they are not Spirit-filled, no matter how much they claim it. They are not Holy Spirit-filled. Amen. The old backslidden prophet told the man of God, God told me, you can come home with me and eat and drink. God told me that. Angel told me that. Come on, I'm a prophet just like you are. But he wasn't. Oh, no, he wasn't. He was a liar. Every liar finds their part in what? The lake of fire. Amen. Not everybody who says they're holy is holy. Not everybody who says they're Spirit-filled is Spirit-filled. How do you know? I'm not everybody's judge. I don't go around saying you are and you're not, you are and you're not, and you are and you're not. I don't do that. Amen. But I'm not going to let anybody fool me. Amen. I'm going to look at the way they live their life, and they can claim whatever they want to claim. And if they're not living a life that's holy before God, I am not interested in the Spirit they've got. Oh, but they don't know. Well, they will know if they're walking the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Every person who ever came to God humbly and holy, W-H-O-L-O-Y, completely, and they surrendered their life to God and said, God, lead me in your truth. Lead me in your light. I want to ask you, how many people has God led into worldliness? Not one. How many people has God led into adultery? Not one. How many people has God led into lying and deception? Not one. How many people did God lead into immodesty? Not one. God don't lead anybody in that. Amen. When you come to God and you walk in the Spirit, He'll lead you into sanctification and holiness. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. There's not only power for salvation and power for sanctification, but power for service in Pentecost. Amen. We are not here on the earth to serve ourselves. Did you know you're not here to make money? That's not why you're here. Now, I know you have to have money to pay the electric bill, and you have to have money to buy groceries and all that, but that's not why you're here. I don't think you all believe that, but it's true. God never put anybody on this earth for the purpose of making money. God never put anybody on the earth for the purpose of building a big house. If you got one, great, so be it. But that's not why you're here. Amen. God never put anybody here to buy cars and trucks and fill up storage buildings and stuff closets. Oh, hallelujah. Or live luxuriously. God didn't put anybody here. And if you're doing all those things, I don't see anything in there. It's a sin. It's not a sin to have money. Not as long as you get it right and use it right. It's not a sin to have a house. It's not a sin to have a car or a truck. It's not even a sin to fill up a storage building. It's not even a sin to stuff a closet if that's what you want to do. But that's not why you're here. Hallelujah. Hey, you got to admit, some people don't have much reason to be alive. Huh? They don't have much reason to be alive. If a closet's all you're living for, you got not much reason to be alive. If a bank account's all you're living for, you don't have much reason to be alive. Amen. God didn't put you here, amen, for those reasons. Amen. You and I are here to serve God first and foremost. Amen. That brings us to a transition now to the next point of why? Pentecost. Amen. Not only because Pentecost brings power, but Pentecost gives us purpose. Amen. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. That's interesting, isn't it? I know when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you will speak in other tongues. Amen. As the Spirit gives utterance. If you have not spoken in tongues, you are not baptized in the Holy Ghost. But that is not the purpose of it. Amen. That's one of the symptoms in a good way. That's one of the signs of the Holy Ghost. That's one of the blessings of the Holy Ghost. That is not the purpose. Amen. The purpose is that God wants you to live your life for Him. Amen. God wants your life to testify of His goodness and proclaim His truth. God wants your life, amen, to shine His light and bring glory to His name. He wants your life to show Jesus to the world. Now, He may want you to preach the gospel, and He may want you to be an evangelist, or He may want you to pastor, or He may want you to pioneer a church in some area that needs one, or He may want you to be a missionary on a foreign field. Or He may want you to be a lay preacher in the local church. Or He may want you to teach His Word to a class in your congregation. Or He may not call you into what's commonly considered ministry at all. But there is a divine purpose for your life. You are here to serve the Lord with all the abilities that He has given you. If you are not using your mind for God, you're not doing your purpose on the earth. If all you got up in your mind are numbers and figures and ledgers, that's not enough. Your mind was made for more than that. Amen. God wants your knowledge and your wisdom and even your common sense. If you don't have no common sense, well, give Him what you do have and try to get some common sense. Amen. He wants all that used for His glory. Amen. God wants your talents, whatever abilities you have. Whatever you're able to do, God wants all of that used for Him. God wants you to serve Him with your emotions. Amen. The compassion that you have, the mercy, the love. God wants you to serve Him with your joy, with your gentleness, with your concern for those that are in need. You realize God gave you emotions, and He wants you to use those emotions to serve Him, not yourself. God wants you to serve Him with your strength, all your physical ability. Amen. I believe God wants you to serve Him with your opportunities. Hallelujah. Your job is an opportunity to serve the Lord. The school where you go, that's an opportunity to serve the Lord. That's why you're there. No, I'm there to learn. No, you're not. That's just a byproduct of why you're there. Amen. You're there to serve God. Amen. God wants you to serve God and your opportunities with your neighbors. You know, there are people who aren't saved at all. They don't go to church and worship God at all. And yet they have a great, great concern for their neighbors. That man and his wife that live out across from Brother Harold, man, they watch after him like a mom and dad. Or a son and daughter, maybe. They are neighbors. And yet some Christians are not neighbors to anybody. Oh, unless they're fighting with them. Well, amen. You are supposed to serve God with your opportunities with your friends. Amen. And with your family. And even with people in the public you don't even know. Opportunities come up and you're supposed to serve God with them. Amen. Last night we took the group from the Bible school out to get a bite to eat at Burger King. And we were waiting a while for the food. Surprise, surprise. While we were waiting, it was taking a while, but it was okay. We were visiting, and I was kind of from the table back up at the front, kind of, you know, watch pot that never boils kind of thing, but you just can't help but watch sometimes. I kept checking to see if my order was ready, and it wouldn't be ready. And one of those trips up and back, Jim Gein, who was here on ministry, he don't know I'm saying this, but it don't matter. It's not bad. I happened to overhear. He had been up there waiting also. And a man and a wife had come in, kind of an older lady, and I don't know how the conversation started. I don't know how it all got going, but as I just kind of overheard, not all the details, but evidently she had recently lost a loved one to death, and I heard him. I don't know who she is. I have no idea where they're from, what their name is. He probably don't know either, and he had never met her in his life. But I overheard him sympathizing with this woman, listening to her patiently. And encouraging her, and it just the compassion there, and it occurred to me, hey, those kind of opportunities are used by God. Amen. You may never get behind a pulpit and preach a message in your life. Amen. But you've got opportunities out there. Amen. You're supposed to be serving God. And the Holy Ghost, amen, will give you purpose like that where no matter where you are and no matter what circumstance you're in, amen, you'll use it to serve God. Hallelujah. I've told you, but I'll mention it briefly. Sister Beam, who is Sister Goodwin now, was traveling alone on that Pennsylvania Turnpike. If you've ever been on it, there aren't hardly any places to get off. You know, every once in a while they'll have a little bit of a service area. But as she traveled, she had a blowout. She had a fairly nice car. It wasn't old and run down, but the tire blew out. Totally unexpectedly, of course. And she was happened to be nearby one of the pull-offs. There were no gas stations or any facilities, but a wide spot with a guardrail. She was able to pull off in there and just set. She did have a cell phone. She was able to try to get some help. But here she is in the meantime, and I know how I feel when I'm traveling. I'm not going to talk about that. But I tell you, when you have a goal in mind and you got a place to go, it can be very frustrating for anything to happen that gets in the way of that. So here she is on the side of the road, and she says, Lord, here I am on the side of the road. Why don't you let me help somebody here today? You know, you got to have a reason for me to be here on the side of the road. And I mean, I have to admit, I haven't been stranded very often, but I do have to admit that the time we were coming home in the ice storm and I got stranded without gas, I wasn't praying for God to have me help anybody. I never did. I prayed for God to get gas in that place and let me get home. I did, and I'm the one talking, so you know I can tell you, you've probably done this bad or worse than that. And I admit I hadn't even thought about trying to use that as an opportunity to help anybody else. And here a car is going down the other side of the turnpike, and it's against the law even, but he got down to a crossover that's designed only for patrolmen, and he had seen her out there by a car, and he crossed over and came back up to her and pulled off, and the reason is because he grew up in a Pentecostal home. He was a backslider, and he saw her and knew she was a holiness Pentecostal woman, and he stopped out there to help. She didn't really need his help, and she witnessed to him, and before he left, I don't know if he really prayed through, he was crying in remorse. remorse about his wayward ways. I tell you what, God wants you, amen, to use your opportunities. Amen. That's why you need Pentecost. Amen. Because the Holy Ghost will give you purpose. Hallelujah. There is more to this life than just living and dying, and more than just trying to make it through a day. It's an old Christian song from years ago. Those words, there is more to life than just trying to make it through a day. Some people have no greater goal in life than just make it through that day. They don't see anybody they meet. They don't think about anybody else in the world. They don't care about anybody else's situation. All they care about, they're having a tough time. They got a hangnail, and they can't hardly stand it. They got a paper cut. It's driving them nuts. They got a runny nose, and they're miserable, and the whole world is. Well, hallelujah. God's goal is not just for you to make it through a day and drag in your house and collapse on the floor and have the whole world serve you. Hallelujah. Pentecost will give you purpose. Amen. Some of us need it pretty bad. I tell you, the people who are really living in power and purpose are those that have yielded their lives to the Holy Ghost. They are saved by His power, sanctified by His power, filled with His power, refilled with His power, refilled with His power, refilled with His power, refilled with His power. No, did I mention they're refilled with His power? Hallelujah! Amen. They have all of these phrases come directly from the Bible. They have received the Spirit. They are filled with the Spirit. They are in the Spirit. They are sealed by the Spirit. They are led by the Spirit. They are walking in the Spirit. They are praying in the Spirit. Amen. They are living in the Spirit. They are listening to the Spirit. They are knowing the mind of the Spirit. They are obeying the Spirit. They are speaking by the Spirit. They are used in manifestations of the Spirit, and they're bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Those are the people that are living in power and purpose. Why Pentecost? Because we need it so bad. Hallelujah. For us to get from this world we're in to heaven, man, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. And we need His purpose in our life. Hallelujah. Let's stand tonight. Glory to God. My, do you feel your need of Pentecost in your own heart tonight? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not just talking about an occasional chill bump. Nah, those are good. And I admit, boy, Saturday night I felt God. I love it when the Lord moves like that. And people shout and cry and run and rejoice. Man, I loved it. And I sure want more of that. But there's more to Pentecost than just that. Hallelujah. And some of you don't even have that. There's more to it than that. Hallelujah. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. Hallelujah. Now, I know he mentioned Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the world. Amen. And you know, I don't believe that he was saying directly to Peter, you, Peter, will be a witness to me in Jerusalem, and you, Peter, will be a witness in Samaria, and you, Peter, will be a witness in Judea, and you, Peter, will be a witness in all the world, because that did not happen quite like that. But some of God's Holy Ghost believers were witnesses in Jerusalem, and some of them were witnesses in Judea. And some of them were witnesses in Samaria, and the rest of us, are to be His witnesses in the uttermost parts of the earth. Hallelujah. How about you? Are you fulfilling that Pentecost purpose? Praise the Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to have a specific altar call here tonight except for this part. I want to ask you, when you take inventory of your own spiritual life, would you be willing to say, just by uplifted hand, I admit I need Pentecost in my life? Just put your hand up and put it down. I need Pentecost in my life. Think about it. Do you really? I'm serious now. I appreciate those hands. I really do. But oh, I'm telling you, it ought to be 100%. Hallelujah.